Let me ask you, do you want God's best for your life? Are you longing for peace, for power, for vivid answers to prayer and direction that God would give you personally? If that's what you're looking for, we're going to learn how to get that today, right here on Living on the Edge.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's our Bible teacher on this International Discipleship Program, and I'm Dave Drewy. I'm glad you're with us as Chip continues his look at the life of Daniel and how Daniel, in the midst of an incredibly wicked culture, was able to get God's best for his life. You know, the wicked culture part may feel pretty close to home. So what Chip has to say is going to provide the fresh insight and energy you may be needing right about now. If you missed the first part of this message, Chip laid out a solid foundation for what you'll hear today. So you can catch up anytime with the Chip Ingram app. Okay, let's join him now for part two of his message, Learning to Get God's Best for Your Life, from Daniel chapter 1.
There was a reason these 15 and 16-year-old boys in Babylon's wicked, immoral, sexual culture were pure. They had parents who taught them, this is true, this is false. This is the true God. These are temptations and false gods. This will allow you to experience grace and the good life and blessing of God, and this will bring destruction. This will be real attractive on the front end and will bring death. This will be hard on the front end and it'll bring life. Choose this day who you'll serve. And I tell you what, that happens with intentionality. That happens by modeling it. That happens by saying, what's going to go into the mind of my life, my kid's life? What kind of person am I? Because here's the deal that's scary. Parents, you know, we read all these books, all these techniques. You want to know what your kids are going to really be like? Just go home and look in the mirror for about 20 minutes. They're going to be like me. They're going to think like me. They're going to drive like me. They're going to be a people-pleasing workaholic like me. They're going to drink, start out with just one glass of wine before I went to bed like me, into three or four glasses of wines, I'm trying to hide it like me. They're going to be a secret porn addict like me. They're going to be just like you. They're going to be just like me. The greatest parenting advice I can give you is be a great godly person. Walk with Christ. And you know, you can mess up a bunch. Your kids will end up probably a lot like you, which really takes a lot of pressure off. So second, God then positions godly people in places of influence. The reason they ended up in Babylon was God. But it wasn't like he didn't put them in this like holy huddle. Okay, we're going to be a small group. Daniel, what should we do now? We're going to just hide out in the corner of the castle. They ended up the top students. They ended up the people that led the nation. Daniel, at one point in his life, for like decades, ends up the number two guy calling the shots in a pagan world. Why? Because he's getting God's best. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Daniel said, it's really hard, it's really upstream, but by my convictions and the courage and I know what's true, I'm going to do life God's way. And so God placed some of you. He's put you in neighborhoods. He's put you as coaches on teams. He's put you as vice presidents and key managers and places all over the place. Why? He doesn't want to take you out. He wants to place you there, but he wants the kind of people that are holy and winsome, not the kind of people who hold up placards and say that, you know, God hates people. Have you ever been to church? I didn't grow up in church, so I remember I went to church one time and it was like, wow, the music was really good and I think that guy really loves God. And then I tried to get out of the parking lot and everyone was a jerk. Beep, 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 don't get out of there, beep, beep, beep. I'm thinking, were they in the same room I was in? You understand what I'm saying? And see, that's the dichotomy. The world looks at us and goes, man, I hear that Jesus stuff and a little Bible on your desk and you've invited me to go to church. Well, how come you don't tell the truth? And how come you took part of the credit for my business deal? And how come they don't want you to be perfect? They know you're not, for believe me. And they know I'm not. But they're looking for you to be real. And so he then prospers those who follow his ways over the ways of the world. Isn't it interesting? There are a lot of really smart guys, a lot of really smart people. But each time, if you read chapter 1, God gave favor to Daniel and his friends with the official. God gives favor to Daniel before the king. God gives favor. And the chapter 1 ends with a very interesting little line. You almost miss it, but the very end of chapter 1 ends with verse 21, and Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. The timeline, 539 BC. Translation, for a very, very long time, a very, very godly man got all of God's best, and he changed his world. Well, how does that play out for us? Daniel's confidence in God's promises and God's character were the secret to his convictions and courage. See, everyone is betting their life on a truth proposition. The world has a truth proposition. Cosmo says, if you look like this, then you'll be successful and happy. And Entertainment Tonight and E! Whatever will tell you this. And Forbes will say, if you can get enough of this and that, enough zeros and enough power, then that's what's going to happen. And then people will tell you, if you can just be famous and, you know, be your own little American idol, and you can, you know, create Facebook and you have a whole world around you, and you can tell people, I just burped, you know, and then I'm going for coffee and my dog, you know, we're creating, no, serious, are you kidding me? We're creating worlds where we're the star of our own show. There's a way that seems right to men, but the way therein is death. The truth proposition will either be that, and that's called the world system, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the Babylonian of our world. Or you will say to yourself, you know something? History, personal experience, all dictate that, you know, God has come in the person of Jesus. He lived a perfect life. He died upon a cross for me to demonstrate his love. He rose from the dead, not in some mysterious, I need some angel here or there, or some wise person who claims to have some experience. For over 40 days to 500 eyewitnesses in a resurrected body, he told us what would happen, when would it happen, and how it's going to happen. And he says, I love you and I have your best now. Take up your cross and follow me. Swim upstream. And I'll put my blessing upon your life and a blessing upon your relationships and blessing upon your finances. And you know what? It will be hard. It will be difficult. But you'll be the kind of Daniel that people say, you know, how did you guys stay married after all you've been through? How did you ever forgive him after he did that? What? I'm not sure what's going on, but you know, your kids, they seem like they actually like you. And how did they turn out like that? And you know what? One group of people will say, I believe in the character of God, that he is good and that he is just and that he is holy. And I believe the promises in his word are the key to the fear of God and walking in a path that produces the outcomes that he promised. And you'll either do that or you'll believe something else. I mean, that's life. You either do that or you believe something else. But the key is people of conviction and people of courage. And people that make God's word and the character of God the core of their life, it births convictions and courage. So you ask, well, what is that? Notice, conviction is refusing to compromise in spite of the cost. I mean, there was a big cost. It could have cost him his life, but Daniel didn't compromise. His three friends in the fiery furnace, they didn't compromise. When he gets to be 80 years old and it's illegal to pray, first thing he does, he opens the windows three times a day, he starts praying, and he ends up in a lion's den. It doesn't mean it won't be hard and difficult and painful. Conviction is refusing to compromise in spite of the cost. And by the way, well, how do you get convictions? I'm back. They're more caught than taught. You rub up against people that have them. Proverbs 13:20, he who dwells with wise men will be wise, but the companion of a fool will suffer harm. Your kids catch convictions from you. My kids still tell the story. I can't even remember the movie. It was like a PG movie. And they still tell the story. I just remember it was real popular. I took all my family. We're sitting in the row. And in the first 10 minutes, they used God's name in vain three times. And I just thought, I remember sitting there and the Spirit of God said, now, and it was a cute little movie. I can't remember what it was. And I won't tell you because then you'll email me. Well, I watched that and I thought it was okay and all that. So we'll skip that. But I remember watching this movie and they used God's name, and I just thought to myself, if they used my mother's name, would I get up and say, wait a second, what do you mean, damn Martha? That's just my mom's name. I'd fight over that. And so here I am sitting in this cutesy little movie where my kids, and so I remember going, hey guys, what, Dad? We're leaving. What do you mean we're leaving? We're leaving. Dad, you're an idiot. Well, okay, yeah, probably. Get up, we're going. And I remember we marched out of there and we went out there and I just told the people, you know, I'm real sorry, but that was very offensive to me. I, that God died me, loved for me. And my boy said, well, what are you doing, Dad? I said, well, did you hear what they said? Well, yeah, but everyone says it. I know. That's not how we're going to live, guys. Okay, he loves me. He told me never take his name in vain. How can I passively just sit here and let people say that and call it entertainment? I mean, think of how small that was. Well, they're in college and co-ed dorms. They had lots of people offer them drugs. They had much opportunities where they were attracted to someone that they knew really wasn't following the Lord and had to make tough decisions about their sexuality. Convictions are caught. Parents will get caught from you. Single people, who you hang around with will determine. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Period. The second way of convictions, it's by personal discovery. And we have come to the day where we have become, I just call them pablum Christians. I don't know if you've done this, but my wife, I don't really get this. When my kids are real small, you know, women, you sort of heat stuff and then you taste it before you give it to the baby. I never really like that. But it's all ground up, and I mean really, really, really ground up. So it's real, real smooth. So it's kind of pre-digested for the little babies. Tastes terrible. Most believers in our day are not eating spiritual steak and potatoes and serving themselves their own meal. They listen to the radio, or they read a little bit of a Christian book, and this teacher thinks that, and this teacher thinks that, and I always feel really warm and gooey when I read that guy, and you know what, I don't feel very good, so I think I'll put on a Christian song. God loves me, I love me, I'm okay, you're okay, okay. And you know what, there's a place for that, but I got news for you. When you're really tempted, some little song or what some person thinks on the radio does not have the power to give you the sheer guts and courage to swim upstream and say, thus says the Lord, I have courage and convictions. It comes when your nose is in this book and you're reading it little by little and saying, God, please speak to me. I'm not earning any favor. I want to know you. And when his word comes off the page and the Holy Spirit codifies it in your heart, it gives you the power to do what you want to do. The psalmist said, if your word had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. See, this is your diet. Jesus will tell us just a little bit later that transformation doesn't come by going to religious activities or trying harder. Transformation, convictions come when the word of God, by the Spirit of God, in the human heart, in the context of community of other people, gives birth in your soul where your life changes. And so you do what's right, not because you ought or should, but because God says it and it's a conviction you have. And there's a big difference between convictions and beliefs. I was in college, and I didn't actually fill out one of those surrender cards, but a few months earlier, I told God, I'm all in, and I really want to walk with you, and I was sincere as I could be, and I was an RA. I wanted to make a little extra money, resident assistant, you know, where you sort of counsel people on the floors and sit in the little box with the window, and people sign in and out and all that, and so we had training. They had the psychologists come from West Virginia University, and there was 80 of us, and one of the exercises, we all got against a long wall, and they said, the middle of the room is zero, and to the far right is 100 points. I highly agree with this statement. And then way, way over here, after they made it, was, I totally disagree with this statement. So they asked all kinds, we were doing values, clarification, and sensitivity training. Some of you remember that. And so they asked this question, do you believe that premarital sex is okay? There's 80 people in the room. 75 of the people are huddled around the plus 100 over here, okay? I mean, this is the 70s, co-ed dorms, life is crazy, sex is available. And two people are over here, they're Christians, I know them, they're in this Bible study, and they're holding hands, and they're like at 100 points, we don't believe in that. Now, they didn't have all the research to know that people who live together and have sex before marriage have a much higher rate of divorce, have a much higher incidence of infidelity, have a much higher, you know, actual sexual dysfunction. But theirs was just a conviction, kind of like Daniel, was just, you know, this is wrong because God says it and he has first-rate sex, not second-rate sex for us. Now, so you've got two people here, and you got 75 or 76, whatever it is, and we have one person right where it's zero. I can't imagine who this person might be. And he was at the 1 yard line. Because, you know, if you would have asked me before, Chip, do you believe premarital sex is okay? No, I don't believe that. But now you put all these good-looking girls that are all going saying, I think it's okay, and two people in a Bible study think, I really think it's wrong. I want it to be, I believe, but I don't want those girls thinking I'm, you know, not available, right? You understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the average Christian in our day is filled with beliefs that you think you believe and they're not convictions? And under pressure and test, you cave. And when you cave, then you have marriages that don't work and debt that consumes you and loneliness that haunts you and jobs that are boring because you took it for the money instead of for how God made you. And what we're talking about is God wants you to get the best. But he says there's a pathway to get his best, and that pathway involves his word, his character, his truth, the community of God's people, but it requires convictions, not just beliefs. But Daniel didn't have convictions, then he had courage. And so we miss what courage is. Courage is refusing to conform even when you're afraid. They grow out of convictions. I mean, Daniel was afraid. I've never met anyone who's taken a stand, who's confronted their boss, who's confronted someone in a relationship, who said, you know what, I love you, you love me, but we got to have first best, and I know there's economic issues, but we can't keep living together. Let's spend some time apart. Let's go through some counseling, and then let's get married in 6 months. But what if I lose him? Well, what if you lose him? Then he probably wasn't worth having. You got to get real with yourself. We got people that love God with all their heart, and the truth is, you know, they're sincere, and you know what, without the prescription drugs, they're a mess. We got people that started out with, you know, I wind down, it's just one glass of wine. Fact is, you've never had one glass of wine before you go to bed. You know, one and done is not a part of you. And so these addictions occur. And there's this pool, and there's this, so many Christians live with such guilt, and it breaks God's heart. And they live with this, oh, I know I'm not quite what I'm supposed to be, and I've got these unresolved anger issues, and, you know, I know I shouldn't be doing this, and I got this, and I got that. And God says, how about you, are you ready? Here's the word. How about you repent? Meta, the word is noia. Change, noia, mind. It's just coming to a day like today and realizing you live in a Babylonian culture, even inside the church, that is filled with the messages of the people and Cosmo and Fortune and media that says this is really going to deliver, and it's not. And it's saying, you know, I'm on the wrong road. I'm going to get off the exit ramp. I'm going to do a U-turn. Okay, God, I'm really afraid, but I want to be on your road. I really want your best. And I'm scared. Courage is doing what you know is right, even when you're afraid. It grows out of convictions. And notice it's sustained by comrades. Jesus summed up really all of what Daniel was teaching us in John 8, and Paul does it in Romans 12. Basically what we've heard, if we wanted to summarize all that we've said, Daniel's life reveals that getting God's best is a no, yes proposition. No longer be conformed to this present world system. No. Yes, allow myself to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. That's getting truth. And you heard about written truth and right people and music. Why? So that I can end up religious and weird? Is that what it, I mean, look at the verse. What is that what it says? So I can never have any fun anymore? Stop allowing yourself to be conformed to this world, but be, literally, allow yourself to be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove, test, experience what God's will is. This is the good part. That which is good, acceptable, and perfect. And just plug in relationships that are good, acceptable, and perfect. Finances that are good, acceptable, and perfect. A future that's good, acceptable, and perfect. That's God's will. And Jesus says it's not about trying hard. It's embracing truth, and you can't do it alone, that brings transformation. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Two very simple things on paper, very difficult in real time is I want you to ask and answer the no and the yes question. The no question is, what or who do you need to say no to experience God's best? As I've been talking, as you've been listening, and some of you have been trying to push it down, that little fluttering, that spirit of God that keeps saying, you need to let go of that, you need to make that step, what is it? And could you please hear, if you could see Jesus right now, the arms would be out open, please, 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 what I have for you is so much better. But they have to be embraced by the eyes of faith. And it means you'll have to let go of maybe some friends or some people or some issues. What or who is that for you? The next recommendation is sort of like an opportunity to spiritually dry out. Consider a 3, 5, or 10-day media fast. Even after 3 days, you'll be completely shocked of how different you look at life. You go 10 days and don't turn on the radio in the car, don't watch any TV, and don't surf the net. First of all, you'll get bored and angry and irritable, and you'll wonder why. Because you're stuffing stuff. I mean, there's a reason we eat when we're not hungry. There's a reason we have to turn on stuff all the time. Most of us don't like who we are or are uncomfortable. But once you see that, think God's grace can deal with it. Second, what do you need to say yes to in order to renew your mind and experience God's good, acceptable, and perfect will? What if you said, you know something, I'm going to take this little bookmark and 20 minutes at lunch or 20 minutes before I get out the door or 20 minutes before I go to bed, and if I've sort of been in the faith for a while but not in the Bible, I'd start in the book of James, and I would just read a paragraph. Two max, but a paragraph or two. And I'm going to pray, God, please speak to me, and then read the paragraph quickly. That's the preview. And then I'm going to read it slowly and out loud. And then, it's real simple. But it'll take it from I read a little bit to letting you meditate and the truth sink into your heart. And if you're brand new, I encourage you maybe start in the book of Mark or the book of John, one of the big ones. So just read a couple paragraphs to renew your mind.
Chip will be back in a minute, but let me just remind you that his message today is from his series, Momentum, How to Ignite Your Faith. In Momentum, Chip develops his outline for Romans chapter 12 and shows you how to live out a life of real faith, no matter what's going on. Learning how to overcome the evil aimed at you and understanding how to give God what he wants the most is guaranteed to make a difference in your life, starting today. Access Chip's entire series, Momentum, How to Ignite Your Faith, with the Chip Ingram app, or download the free MP3s from our website, livingontheedge.org. Now here's Chip with a quick update.
Well, for those who listen regularly, Dave, they've heard a lot about the Mid-Year Match. Mm-hmm. And they've heard about our vision, they've heard about our mission, and I just want to pause today to say thank you. It'll be a little while before we pull all the numbers together, but I have to tell you, it's very encouraging. And what fills my heart today is thank you. Your partnership is so encouraging. And I believe that every financial decision is a spiritual decision, because Jesus said that wherever our money goes, that's where our heart goes. So God directed you to partner with us. And I want to just stop today and I want to say thank you for your commitment, for your love, for partnering with Living on the Edge as we help Christians live like Christians.
You know, one of the ways we help Christians live like Christians is by providing free resources. So either on the Chip Ingram app or on our website, you can get these messages absolutely free. Now, if you found a particular message helpful, maybe tap share on the app or get the MP3 from our website, livingontheedge.org, and share it with a friend. And maybe include a note about how it made a difference in your life. Now, here's Chip with a final thought.
Daniel's life is an exciting, amazing story of how ordinary, regular people like us, even without parental support, even in a hostile environment, can get God's best. And we learn the answer is really embedded in Romans chapter 12, verse 2.
Don't be or stop allowing the world to conform you to its mold, but allow yourself to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I went through this with a group of 20 young professionals in California, and we got to talk about all of this. And so let me give you sort of what I learned the most. What I learned the most was they told me the media fast had the biggest impact on them. I mean, these are people that are, they're on their iPhones, they're on the computer, they're on, the whole bit, video games. And they just said, we stopped, some for 3 days, some for seven, and we had no idea how much that was influencing our thinking. The second thing they told me was, and I watched him, I happened to be traveling, and so one of the other guys led part of the group, and they actually made each other make commitments of what they were going to memorize out of the Bible and how much they were going to read. I mean, they pushed it way more than me. And then when I came back, they were telling me, hey, Chip, excuse me, but we did this thing last week. It wasn't like in the booklet or something, but we all realized we needed to push each other to really make it a priority to memorize some key passages and to really read a lot more than we were. So they do a media fast and they push each other to get in God's Word. And then I heard the stories of life change. I heard the stories of, that problem with lust I had? You know that problem with materialism? You know that conflict I had with my girlfriend? Do you get the picture? Now, what do you need to do? What do you need to say no to? And what do you need to say yes to in terms of renewing your mind? Here's what I can tell you. Go do it. It worked for Daniel, and God will have it work for you.
You know, a great way to stay engaged and connected to Chip and Living on the Edge is with the Chip Ingram app. You'll be getting all of these momentum messages, Chip's free message notes, and much more. And not only that, but it couldn't be easier to order resources or give us a call right from the app. Well, I hope you'll join us again next time when Chip continues our current series, Momentum, How to Ignite Your Faith. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.